Hey, you all remember that moment from childhood, don't you? The moment where you left the shallow end and you went into the deep end, like at the pool or maybe the lake or something like that. It's one of those kind of iconic childhood moments that you remember for a while and you certainly celebrate in your own kids. And while that definitely happens as a child, it also continues to happen all throughout our lives as we move from deep to shallow in all kinds of ways. And the truth is, doesn't matter what area of life we're talking about, anytime you've done that, you've always been grateful and you've never wanted to go back. Nobody wants to be in the shallow end. And that's what this series is about. This series is about getting out of the shallows and taking a step deeper in our faith from wherever you happen to find yourself this morning. Like whether you're the curious skeptic who's wondering if there's anything real and powerful to this Jesus stuff, or whether you're like the hungry novice, the new Christian who's just wanting to grow and get as much as you can take, or whether you're the restless veteran in the room who is looking for that next level or maybe even trying to just get out of a rut that you've fallen into. If you are any of those, this series, oh, it is for you. We talked last week that it may not be as much for the happy campers, for the people that are just kind of happy where they are spiritually. But even if that is you, we are so hoping that through the course of this series that maybe a little bit of desire for more kind of gets born in you, that maybe you catch a little bit of healthy dissatisfaction for where you are spiritually, and that you maybe have your eyes open to some things that you didn't even know were there or didn't even know were possible for you in your faith. But regardless of who you are, where it's landing with you this morning, our hope at the end of these 4 weeks and as we launch into the summer is that together somehow, maybe just maybe, we would all get deeper. And that as a result, our faith would become more powerful to us and more compelling to those who are watching and to those who are around us. Now, when it comes to deep, a lot of us, we think, or we just kind of automatically assume, well, that's the church's job, right? Like, hey, dude, that's your role. That's why you're up there. When it comes to getting deeper in my faith, that's the church's job. But like we saw last week, the writer of Hebrews, he says, not so fast. You have a role to play. You have a role to play in your faith. And the unsettling truth from last week was simply this, that unless we are willing to step up and play that role, then we can get in the way. Like, God has amazing plans for you. Yes, you. And he wants to do something awesome in your life this year, this month. He has depths that he wants you to explore. And he is doing his part. But we have a part to play too. And until we do, this is important. Until we do, there is no amount of church and there is no amount of sermons and there is no amount of songs that is going to be able to gonna take us where God wants us to go and even where we want to go when it comes to our faith. And that's what this series is about. This series is about four things. See little props over here. This series is about four things that we need to start doing, or four dials, if you will, that we need to start turning, four roles that we need to step up and start playing if we want to get out of the shallows and experience the depths that God has for us. And we started last week with principle number one over there, and it was simply this idea that you have to feed yourself. We have to become self-feeders when it comes to our faith. In the same way that there's a progression physically in life, there is a progression spiritually that's supposed to be happening. And there comes a point in everybody's life where you got to put down the milk bottle and you got to pick up the fork and you got to start feeding yourself solid food. And so last week, we actually began a 21-day journey of self-feeding, doing it all together. We're calling it 21 Days of Deep. That's what we named it. And we have been trying to play the role of like Blue Apron as a church, sending you a passage in your phone via text every morning, and then giving you an easy format, whether in 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes, to feed yourself. And what's really cool is like 4,200 of you, 4,000, more than that, 4,000 of you signed up, and we're doing this together. So if you're in, keep going. If you forgot about it, get back on it. We heard some of your feedback. That soap thing is now on the website. But if you would like to join in, I would love for you to. You can do so right here. You can text 21 if you're listening. That's the word 21 spelled out to 555-888. Yes, you can do that now if you'd like to, but come on, join in. 21 Days of Deep. God is already doing pretty cool things. So that was last week, and that was principle number one. This morning, I want to go on to principle number two, And I'm really excited about it. And man, to get us there, I want to talk about an update on my life, since you asked, which you didn't. But there are two truths in my life that have somewhat recently collided in a somewhat unsettling way. And those two truths are this. I'm 36 and have four kids. Yes, four kids under the age of five. Woot woot. Truth number one. Truth number two, summer's coming. So, you know, some of you already kind of know where I'm going with this because you're feeling the pain too. And that means that a lot of men my age or in my stage of life are getting increasingly nervous about putting this on display at the pool or the beach. Dad bod. Anybody know what dad bod is? If you're totally lost, I brought the definition with me and we'll read it to you. Dad bod is the type of physique a man earns when the increasing pressures of work life, married life, and especially fatherhood no longer allow him the time or the drive to maintain a hard-toned figure. If human bodies were cuts of meat, the dad bod would be more marbled ribeye than filet mignon. Or if human bodies were sea mammals, dad bod would be more like a grazing manatee than a speedy dolphin. The dad bod is more mudslide than mountain, more soft serve than sorbet, more sad trombone than clarinet, more mashed potato than skinny fry. The dad bod is built for comfort, okay? And listen, I'm not saying that every guy my age or even myself is like all the way at dad bod. But one thing you discover when you get to my stage of life is that you're never that far from it. You know what I'm saying? Like you discover that you're never really more than 3 months away from total dad bod. Like all it takes is a busy season at work and a couple calls to Chin Chin Chinese and wham, you're on the doorstep, you know? And I know some of you guys in your 20s, you're sitting there laughing with your metabolisms. And you're like, dad bod, that's never happening to me. What are you talking about? Impossible. You're just getting old and fat, okay? That's just what's happening to you. Oh, you just wait. You just wait. Because we'll be there watching when you turn 30-something and your metabolism's like, see ya. And all those bon glaze bacon strips you've been pounding start literally showing up on your midsection. We'll be there laughing, okay, bro? Trust me, you're Jon Snow and dad bod is coming. It's going to happen. But anyway, so the situation that I find myself in, like a lot of us, is, hey, what do I do when I'm not entirely satisfied with the way that I look physically? And that certainly is a complicated question. It's not just a simple answer, a lot of facets to it, which is, of course, why there are trainers and why there are nutritionists and the like. And in fact, I remember the first trainer that I ever met and had a conversation with, it's many years ago. I remember what he said to me about this because he boiled it down to two simple things. He said, your body composition really, in the end of the day, has two sides to it. And these are the two sides. The first side is this one right here, calories in, all right? Calories in, which is, of course, where the problem starts, right? Or to use a metaphor, this right here is where the problem starts. On the couch, right? This is where I consume my calories. You know, like this is where, you know, at night with the wife watching Suits season 7 and just shoving my face full of Boy Scout popcorn, you know, because it's so good. You can't stop. You know, you're like, argh, argh. And this is calories in land right here for me. And some of you, you're like, yes, for me too. And it would be really nice if I could fix the whole thing from here, wouldn't it? Like it would be nice if I could calories in my way to fitness. It would be wonderful if I could like eat my way to abs. That would be fantastic. But you can't. I mean, certainly I probably need to adjust both the quality and the quantity of my calories in. That's for sure. But I certainly am not gonna change anything by turning up the couch. Like, you know, ramping up the couch, right? Yes. Now, if I really wanna make a change, what I'm gonna have to ramp up and what I'm gonna have to turn up is actually the second half of the equation. It's not calories in, it's what? Yeah, it's calories out. See, at some point, I'm gonna have to get up from the couch, I'm gonna have to put on some Lulu, and I'm gonna have to grab something like this, and I have to start working out, you know? Like, I'm gonna have to go work out. And that's what this curl bar represents. This curl bar represents calories out. Now, certainly, calories out could be running, it could be like some class, like spin class, or it could be weights, but this represents the switch when you go from consuming calories to burning them, you know, like burn it, calories. And listen, CrossFitters, I know you lift so much more weight than this. I get it. We know this is a sermon illustration, not a wad. Give me some grace, please. I love CrossFit. I'm just kidding. I don't do it, but the point is, when you work out, what you're doing is you're boosting your calories out, right? You're boosting your calories out, because not only does the physical act of working out burn calories, but when you develop bigger muscles, they just eat more calories when you're not even working out. So it's like a win-win. And the goal of all of this, of course, especially as it relates to dad bod, is you want to get to the point where the calories out are bigger than the calories in. That's where you start to change your body composition and maybe trim down some of the fat or the whatever. And that's what my trainer, or wasn't my trainer, but a trainer told me all those years ago, and I remember to this day, calories in, calories out. Now, if I lost you in all that science or nutrition or whatever, here's the basic point. If you don't like the way you look physically, it's hard to do something about it from here. You got to go work out. And here's the question that I'm getting at this morning. What about spiritually? Like, what do you do when you don't like the way you look spiritually? Like, let's say you're a curious skeptic who's looking for something real and powerful if it's there. Or let's say that you are a hungry novice who's like, man, I want to grow. I'm trying to get as much as I can. I want to grow. Or let's say you are a restless veteran looking for the next level in your faith. Like, let's say that you aren't a happy camper in the room today and you're not fine where you are. You have a healthy dissatisfaction with where you currently are in your faith. And you're like, I want to get out of the shallows and I just want to take a step deeper from wherever I am. What do you do? Well, most of us, what we do is something like this. We increase our church attendance. Dude, I need to get back in church. Come on, let's do it. We increase the number of sermons that we listen to. You throw in your AirPods and you're like, let's listen to some people. Or we turn up, or we ramp up our podcast listening or our book reading or our Devo participation or whatever that looks like. And we turn those dials, and it makes total sense, because here's our thinking. Our thinking is that the more God works, the deeper my faith gets. The more God works, well, the deeper my faith is gonna get. So if I don't like how I look spiritually, well, I gotta get God to work, and the more he works, the deeper my faith will get. And so you're like, hey, God, I'm here. I'm in my seat. Do your thing. Or, hey, God, I got my AirPods in or my earbuds in. Let's go. Do your thing. And what I wanna suggest this morning, if I may, I would like to suggest that maybe, just maybe, we're getting it backwards. Or at least many of us who are Christians, I think it's very possible that a lot of us are getting it backwards. Because there is something that is so obvious in the physical realm that is actually very hard to grasp and discern in the spiritual realm. Or at least that's what we're gonna see in the passage that I wanna read to you this morning. That also contains the second principle for getting out of the shallows and going deeper in our faith. And guys, I'm telling you, Christians, listen to me. What we are talking about this morning has done more to grow my faith, I'm telling you, than anything else. Like, it has been such a game changer for me through the years. I used to think my faith was deep, and then somebody taught me this, and it was like they just opened up a whole new realm. It's amazing. Major impact on my life. And hey, if you're not a Christian, here's how important I think this is. I think this thing might be the thing that convinces you. I think the thing that I'm talking about this morning might be actually the thing that convinces you to say yes to following Jesus. I'm serious. And that's why I'm excited to talk about it. It's found in the letter to the Philippians in the New Testament, written by Paul the Apostle. And the context of this letter is pretty fascinating. Paul planted a church in Philippi, a Roman colony, on one of his journeys. And then some time had passed, and he's writing back to these people from prison about their faith. And he planted the church there. And so the future of their faith is of highest importance to him. And with this letter, he's really just trying to push them forward and push them deeper in their faith than they ever have been before. And what he's about to propose to them is a game plan to do just that. And before I read you the game plan, though, I want to just go ahead and show you and tell you the results that he is promising to them, and incidentally, to us this morning. Here's what he is about to offer. It's this right here. He says, then, if you follow this game plan, if you do what I'm about to tell you, you know what? Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You will shine among them like stars in the sky. In other words, you will shine among others spiritually. You ever been to, like, the beach or the pool and seen someone who stood out among all the rest? If you're married or dating, just say, it's you, babe. But you have. And he's saying, I'm about to give you the formula or like the game plan for becoming one of those people spiritually, for becoming someone who has a quality to their soul and to their faith and to their character that stands out, that like shines among other people. Not a bad promise to walk out of here with this morning, right? Yeah, you hear that and you're like, okay, I'd like to know what that principle is. And that's what he says. And it's, what's interesting is that, like my trainer, Paul is going to go right back to the idea of calories in and calories out. And I want to read you what he says about calories in first. Here's what he says. He said, for it is God who works in you. Everybody say works in you. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. For it is God who is working in you to want the right thing and to do the right thing in order to fulfill his amazing plan for our lives. Because it's God who works in you. Hey, anybody felt God working in you this year or even recently or at any point? Yeah, like maybe it was a sermon and the preacher's preaching and you're like, oh my goodness, he's speaking to me. How did he know, you know? And God is just using, he's like working in you. I think of like the Money Talk series. One of the times Andy was talking about how money is not an end, it's a means to an end. And it was like, oh my goodness, that is so, I needed to hear that. So good, you know? God's like working in you. Maybe it's a song, like when you hear a worship song and it's like the truth that you needed in the moment, you know? It's like what your heart wanted to say, but it didn't have the words until the song came on and God's just working in your heart. Like I think about Easter. Y'all here for Easter? You know, we were singing that song, on the morning that sealed the promise, your lifeless body began to breathe. Holy cow, cool. And out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no hold on me. And you're just like, yeah, you know? And God's like working in your heart. Or maybe it's a Bible study or a Devo and you're like, that's the truth that I needed this morning. Thank you, God, you're working in me. Or maybe it's a book or a podcast and you're like tweeting the truth bombs. It's so good. And like God's working in you. That's calories in, right? That's calories in. That's God working in you. You're experiencing him and he's working in you. And that is important. Man, it's important. Calories in matter. And that's where we started last week, talking about this idea of going from milk to solid food. And that is so great and that is so important. But here's the deal. This passage is not about that. This passage is actually about adding something onto that that is crucial. Something that if we ignore will keep us in the shallows, but if we heed, it has the potential to launch us into the depths. And here's how I know this passage is not about calories in, because of this word right here, for. He says, for it is God who's working in you. For it is God who is working in you. You see, guys, this verse is not the thing that Paul's telling you to do. This verse is the motivation for the thing that Paul's really telling you to do. What Paul's trying to tell us to do this morning is actually in the verse before it. So now, I think we're ready to read the whole passage from start to finish. Here's actually what he starts with. He says this, therefore, my dear friends, they're close. He loves these people. He wants the best for them. As you have always obeyed, not only in my presence when I was there, but now much more in my absence. He's in prison again, like I said. Continue to work out your salvation. Everybody say, work out. Continue to work out your salvation or work out your faith and do it with fear and trembling. Like, do it like it matters, like it's important, like with persistence. continue to work out your salvation. He's like, hey, people in Philippi, and incidentally, us today in the room, you know what the game plan is for getting deeper spiritually? Like, if you want to change anything about the way you look spiritually, here's the game plan. It's going to be a lot simpler than you think. You need to get off the couch, and you need to go work out. You need to get off the couch, and you need to go work out your salvation. You need to go put your faith into practice. Like, you need to go do something that God wants you to do, you know? You need to go change a character trait that God wants you to change. You need to develop a habit that God wants you to develop. You need to go love someone that Jesus wants you to love. You need to go forgive someone that Jesus wants you to forgive. You need to go, I don't know, be generous to somebody who's homeless or hungry or hurting in our city. You need to go invite somebody to church. You need to go serve in Wombaland or our family ministries. It's really hard. You know, you need to go lead a small group and be a small group leader. You need to go start a Bible study in your neighborhood, or you need to go do like life lessons over lunch in your workplace. You need to go work out your faith. You need to go put your faith into practice. Yeah. What you don't need to do, what you don't need to do is necessarily sit some more over here. No. If you're like most Christians, or even like most semi-religious people, this is probably where you spend almost all your time. Like, he's saying, you don't need more calories in. No, you need to go send some calories out. You need to go get in the gym, and you need to start working out your salvation. You need to start working out your faith. And that's exactly what this verse is saying. This whole passage, he's saying, hey, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, since God is working in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. In other words, here's what you need to do. What you need to do is you need to go work out what God is working in. You need to go work out what God is working in. You need to go work out what God is working in. That's how you change how you look spiritually. That's how you get a deeper faith. Why? Because the same thing that's true of us physically is true of us spiritually. The same thing that's true of dad bod is true of God bod. You can't do it from the couch. Listen, it's not enough to just let God work in you. No. Those calories in are meant to be translated into calories out as you work out your faith and develop a quality and a strength and a depth that you never had before. And spiritual muscles that you never had before. Guys, that's just how it works. That's just how it works. A deep faith is one that is exercised. A deep faith is one that is exercised. And man, I think we need to hear this morning. I think I need to hear this morning. And you know why I think we need to hear this? It's because I think that so many of us are just sitting on the couch collecting church experiences. And like just doing this, you know, like, Hey, did you see that latest Andy series? Yeah, it was great. Oh, no, I didn't. I missed it. But I've been watching, who's that Elevation guy? Oh, yeah, Furtick. Yeah, I've been watching some Furtick. Y'all just aren't spiritual enough. I've been listening to Louis G. Come on. Mm-hmm. No, you're just like too spiritual. I've been listening to Tim Ferriss and washing him down with some Jordan Peterson. Mind blown. Oh my gosh, guys, I've started this new Bible study. It's amazing. We read 14 books of the Bible every single morning and discuss it. I cry every time. It's incredible. Come on, nerd. I read Jesus Calling and put the song Oceans on repeat and I cry every time. What's wrong with you? Oh my gosh, when's the next night of worship? I need to get my feels for the month, you know? Like, oh, you know, does that sound familiar to anybody? Does that ring a bell with anybody? It's sure ringing a bell with me. And by the way, if you're not a Christian, that was some serious insider jargon there for a second. Just hang with me. And listen. All the stuff that I just said is all great stuff. I promise you, I'm not hating on any of that. I'm not. It's just, here's the problem. The problem is this. Deep is not a collection of experiences. That's not what deep is. Deep is not a collection of experiences. Like really, that conference you go to every year and the church that you go to and then the four pastors that you listen to on rotation, I hate to say it, but by itself, that's the shallow end. Like just by itself, that's just overeating. And that's because, guys, deep is not just a collection of experiences. No, deep is a collection of applied experiences. That's what deep is. Deep is a collection of applied experiences. Listen, going to a three-day Christian conference doesn't make you a deeper Christian anymore, and sitting in a garage for 3 days makes you a car, or listening to Hillsong for 3 days makes you a worship leader. That's not how it works. But I'll tell you this. You go sit in a three-day conference, and then you go do something as a result that either changes you or that blesses somebody else. Now that just might change your faith forever. Deep is not simply a collection of experiences. Deep, no. Deep, real deep. Deep is a collection of applied experiences. And I just think that we've kind of gotten in the habit, and definitely me included, especially in Christian circles. And if you're not a Christian, I bet this might bother you, but I just think we've gotten in the habit of being experience collectors. Like we're trying to change the way we look spiritually from the couch. And it works about as well spiritually as it does physically. Why? Because while incredible experiences and delicious calories in are absolutely a part of the picture of spiritual health, they are at most only half of the picture. The other half is what we do with it. And y'all, we have got to start working out what God is working in, because faith is in that category of things that grows through use. And I have to imagine that is exactly why Jesus, in his like precious 3 years that he had with his inner circle, you know, I have to imagine that that's why Jesus sent them out to preach and to serve people at least twice. I mean, it's like, couldn't that wait? I mean, just spend time with Jesus. He's about to be off the planet. Why don't you? And Jesus is like, no. Because there's just something unique that happens. You can't just spend 3 years working in. No, you have to go work out. And I just want you to know the same is true of your faith and my faith. And those of you who have gotten in the spiritual gym before, you can testify that this is true. You go be a transit small group leader and you take on the responsibility of leading some sixth graders, you'll get deeper. I promise. That or you'll quit. You go invite somebody to church, like make space in your life to love another human being, And take the risk to actually invite them to come see where you go to church. I promise you, you'll get deeper. You go serve somebody in our community who's hurting or needs something, like with our intersect partners or whatever. I promise you, your compassion and your joy, it'll get deeper. Or hey, you decide to actually go conquer a sin in your life. I mean, like make some tough decisions, invite accountability, deny yourself, ask for and receive grace. You're gonna get deeper. Like go face an old wound, forgive an enemy, or do any of those things. Like actually do them, not just hear another sermon about them. And I'm telling you, you're gonna get deeper, whether you meant to or not. You can't help it and you can't even stop it, because that's just what happens when you work out your faith. When you work out your faith, you see for yourself that God is faithful, that God is powerful, that God is alive, that he can do anything, and he is closer and he is bigger and he is better than you ever thought he was. And in the process, you start developing some spiritual muscles that you never had before, and you find the depths that can only be accessed through exercise. And my hope is that that's helpful to some of us in the room, maybe even bothersome to some of us in the room, because maybe you've realized that for quite a while you've had it backwards. Like every time that you wanted to get deeper, you ran to the couch and not to the curl bar. And today you're going, yeah, I need to change that. You do. And so do I. And I'm telling you, if you do, something's gonna happen. Something real and something measurable is gonna happen in your life. And Paul tells us that, and this is the last part of the verse. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Go work out what God's working in and do it joyfully so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. There's some crazy stuff happening in the world today. And then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life, the good news of Jesus. And then check this last part. I love this last part. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. He said, man, you know what'll happen? You know what'll happen is that all of your experiences, they won't be in vain if you go and do this. Now, why would they be in vain? Here's why they might be in vain. Because there is a whole world of people out there looking for the same light that you've stumbled onto. There's a whole world of people out there who are needing the same grace that you've got so undeservably and that I've gotten so undeservably. There's a whole world of people out there looking for the same compassion and the same generosity that your Heavenly Father has lavished on you. There's a whole world of people out there who are hungry for the word of truth that you are clinging to currently right now that's so powerfully working in you. And he's saying, you got to go work out your faith and do it joyfully. Why? Because a faith that is exercised shines. And when you shine, it won't just be distinct, it'll be attractive. It will be effective. It'll be powerful, and God will use it like all of his working in you of great effect for you. It will not be in vain for those around you because you will pass it on. Go work out what God is working in, not only because it's the pathway to the depths that God has for us, but it's also the invitation for somebody else. And that's why, if I may, I would love to invite you, or in the name of the theme of physical trainer and everything, challenge you. I would love to challenge you and challenge me to work out your faith and to do it specifically this summer. I want to challenge you to take 2 months, June and July of this summer, and go work out your faith in a way that you never have before and just see what God does. And because until you do, you're just gonna be getting in the way of all God wants to do in your life because you're gonna be on the couch. And so I wanted to give you some ways this summer that I would love to invite you to a little 2-month experiment of working out your faith. And this is by no means an exhaustive list. These are just some ways, but here are some ways. Number one, you could start serving at Buckhead Church. This is what we do. We are all about serving who comes here and especially the next generation. And you could sign up to join the ranks of those doing that. And the guest team, the parking team, Wombaland, Upstreet, Inside Out Transit, and the whole deal. I'm telling you, if you do that, you will get deeper. You can text you can actually go to next@bc.com to do that. Our host team will get you connected with that. You'll get deeper if you serve this summer. Or here's another thing you could do. Some of you could invite somebody to church. I think anyone who calls this your church home, you ought to be inviting people to church all the time because that's kind of our thing. That's kind of what we do. But I'm telling you do this, you will get deeper. And maybe you need to do that this summer in a way that you haven't before. Or maybe you need to share something you're learning. Like you need to go start a Bible study with some people that need one, or do life lessons over lunch like I mentioned at your business, or you need to be a Renew mentor here at Buckhead Church and help people discover their past and how God is in their future and all of that, and lead someone and pass on what God has been working in you. Some of y'all have so much to pass on and you need to do that. Go do that this summer. Or how about be kind and generous? Like maybe what you could do is just start volunteering a couple times a month down at the Atlanta Mission or the City of Refuge or any of our Intersect partners. And just go make a difference. It will make you deeper because you're gonna meet some deep people down there. Whew. Well, here's one more. I liked it so much I couldn't leave it off. It takes some explaining though. Maybe this summer what you need to do is just read and listen with action. Maybe this is the lowest rung on the ladder, I don't know. But I got this idea from Mark Batterson, and what his point was is, hey, maybe before you go on to the next chapter of the Bible, you need to decide what you're gonna do about the first one you just read. Yeah. Hey, maybe instead of listening to another episode of the podcast, you should decide what you're gonna do about the first one you just listened to. Go read with action. Chances are you've already read something in the past month about a certain area of your life. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's your finances. Go change it. Go change it. God is working in you. Oh my goodness. He is working in you all the power and all the freedom and all the grace that you need. Go work it out. Go unleash it in your life. Will it change in 2 months completely? Probably not. But in the process, it will change a little and your relationship with God will get deeper as you do. Maybe some of you, that's what you need to do. I just want to challenge you to pick one and spend June and July working out your faith. So you have a couple weeks in May, okay? You can decide which one you're going to do. You can, if you need time to join a gym, you can. We've got a couple weeks left in May, but come June, I better see y'all hitting the weights, okay? I'd love to invite you to do that. Get off the couch and go work out. And by the way, this is not, the point of this is not to hate on the couch. This isn't to hate on experiences. The point of this is not, hey, you need to turn down the couch. You know, forget the couch. Just turn it down. No. Absolutely. That's not the point. The point is to match it. That's the point. Like for example, y'all know The Rock, right? You know how many calories this man eats in a day? 5,000 calories. Can you imagine what we would look like if we did that? Or how about, you remember this guy right here? Yeah. At his peak, you know how many calories he was eating? 12,000 calories, y'all. And that is a picture of what I want for you. I do, absolutely. I want you to be consuming a massive amount of calories from God because you need them to support the massive amount of calories you are spending for him. Yeah. Thank you. Let me just make sure that was clear. Do I want you to sit on the couch? Absolutely, I want you to sit on the couch because I want you to be consuming a massive amount of calories from God because you need him to support the massive amount of calories that you're spending for him. Go work out what he's working in. And that's why I would just like to land on this question right here as we close it out. And this is the question that I've been kind of wrestling with this week as I'm preparing for this talk. You ever heard of the term earning your calories? You ever heard someone say that? Like, hey, I ran 3 miles so I can eat this donut. I deserve this pizza, you know? I earned it. Nodding, y'all heard that term? Earning calories? Okay. And this is the question that I just kind of want to leave us with. Hey, y'all, we got access to one of the greatest teachers of our generation. And he's here now, so it's kind of awkward. But it's true. I'm just going to say it's true. And it's not just him. You have access to the greatest preachers and worship leaders that speak English in our world. And right here locally in Atlanta, you have access to some of the most living, dynamic churches. God is working in us in an unprecedented way. Are you earning your calories? Are you earning your calories? Because do I ask that to make you feel guilt? No way. Do I ask that to make you feel possibility? Oh, absolutely. Can you imagine with all that God is working in us, can you imagine the weights that we could throw around this year? I mean, just think about it for a second. Some of you could attain spiritual heights that you have never attained before if you got in the gym. You could accomplish goals that you never thought were possible in your life this year. Like that could happen. But it's not just about you. You could throw around some weights for some other people in a massive way. Like you could carry burdens for somebody. You could go stand in the gap for someone this year. You could go light the way for somebody this year. You could literally go stand in the darkness and hold it back for somebody this year, or at least stand in the middle of it with them. You could potentially be a part of knocking down walls and breaking chains for somebody in their life this year. You could be the answer to somebody's prayer this year. Their prayer for provision, their prayer for companionship, their prayer for victory. Y'all, that's the deep stuff. New Christians, don't you wait 1 second to start working out what God is working in. No. God uses unqualified people all the time. And in fact, some of the greatest steps forward in my faith were times when I simply said yes to an invitation to work out what God was working in that I had no business saying yes to. New Christians, some of you, I think God is about to push the gas pedal down on your faith. Go work out what he's working in. Don't you wait one more second. But hey, veterans in the room, just in case we're not on the same page here, I think this might even be more for some of us. I think that some of us, we need to get back in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to get back in the weight room and start throwing around some weights. And I'm not talking 15s. I'm talking squat rack with the 45s on the side. Like, you need to go serve again. This is what we do at Buckhead Church. You need to start inviting people to church again. This is who we are. This is what we do. We need you. But not just we need you, you need you. Don't sit on the couch. That's not the depth that you're looking for. Go throw some weight around. Man, I got a feeling for some of us who are veterans. I can feel it. Like, this is gonna be the year for some of you that God uses you and stretches you more than he ever has before. And I can't wait for you to work out what he's working in. And then one last thing, just non-Christians in the room. Man, if you wanna get a legitimate taste test or a trial run of Jesus, don't go listen to another sermon. Go do this. Go give your life away to somebody. Go give your life away to somebody. Like, go love someone, serve them, or whatever. You know that Jesus said the number one defining characteristic of Christians is not that they go to church or listen to sermons, it's that they love one another sacrificially, as he loved them sacrificially. That's it. I dare you to go do that. You don't even have to be a believer. I dare you to go do that. Go love somebody else in Jesus' name and see if it isn't the most compelling thing on the planet. I'm telling you, some of you, if you would just go try it, I'm telling you, just go love someone or some group of people like Jesus out there, I bet you $100 you'll start listening to him more in here, because it's that good. It's that compelling. This might be the thing that actually convinces you this is legit. It's one of the things that compelled me. So whoever you are, whatever you're thinking, and man, if Jesus were sitting here and he was your spiritual trainer and you came up and you're like, Jesus, I'm here, I'm ready. I think for a lot of us, he would look back and go, yeah, that's part of the problem. You're here. Go out there. Go work out what I'm working in. And I'll be with you every step of the way, but I can't wait to talk to you on the other side, because you're gonna be deeper. So what do you say this summer? We work out what God's working in. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you'd help us find the depths that can only be attained through exercise. Give us courage to work out what you're working in. Give us a sense of possibility, not only what you could do in us, but what you could do through us. And I pray for all of us that we just get deeper and therefore experience more of you, because you're awesome. You're awesome. And I pray that we would experience depths with you that we haven't yet. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey guys, thanks so much for being here. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you next week for part 3 of Out of the Shallows.